From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Friday, a semi-red Friday, considering Kansas City doesn't play for a while. But you know what? We're going to be here talking about football regardless. I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com.
Hey, and I'm Ryan, founder of Rogue Analytics, and you can find my writing over at Chiefs Digest sometimes, as well as LockedOnChiefs.com.
Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. Really appreciate all the iTunes reviews that you've been giving us as well. We will be getting back to reading those shortly, as well as getting back to some of the voicemails. Today, we are going to bring out a couple of different topics. We're going to talk about free agencies, more specifically the wide receivers. And we're also going to be talking about the draft and where the Chiefs will pick in the draft in 2018.
Yeah, wide receivers are an interesting one because there's going to be movement this offseason. I think we're all prepared for that for the most part. But at the combine, there was an interesting kind of series of events that I think were probably confounding for some, but definitely interesting to the rest of us. And first and foremost, it was Brett Veach actually acknowledging the not only possibility, but maybe even the likelihood that Albert Wilson could sign in Chicago because specifically of Matt Nagy.
Well, and I think that move makes a lot of sense for them. They would give their young QB Trubisky a player in the room that knows his offense inside and out and that can be a building block to build around. Albert Wilson, in my opinion, is not a number one or number two wide receiver. I think he's going to be at best a number three, but he could be a very good number three in the right situation and when he's being used properly.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And, you know, they still have a big question mark in Kevin White out there. A guy who just recently popped up on social media as working hard, supposedly, and trying to get better. So can still salvage him. Yeah, right. And maybe they can still salvage him. And that would be an interesting pairing with Albert Wilson running underneath his, you know, kind of deeper speed crossing pattern kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and they definitely need wide receivers and they need to help Trubisky in any way possible. So maybe that is a direction that they want to go.
That very well could be.
So do you think he ends up in Chicago or do you think he ends up somewhere else? I do think it's intriguing that his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. That's part of the reason I don't think he's back in Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree. Rosenhaus is very, very good over the years at taking a positive performance on a player's first contract and maximizing where he could land and the contract that he can sign in his second contract. And that's honestly why I feel like he's probably priced out of Kansas City's range. Now, there could be other teams that see what he's able to do, specifically teams like Jacksonville and Seattle who are losing third receivers themselves or guys that can play their third receiver. I think Allen Robinson, Jacksonville is actually their primary, but teams that can use them, use Albert Wilson in a way that they've used other players. I think they might get some interest there. But obviously, having played in the offense that Nagy sparked, this was Albert Wilson's finest season. And Matt Nagy was heavily involved in the 2017 offense. So I have to think that it's got to be the home run, right?
You would think. And the other side of it is it's kind of funny. Seth pointed out, on Twitter, I think this was on Tuesday, that Albert Wilson, I don't think, played at all in the Week 17 game until DeAnthony Thomas went out. Now, we'll never know whether or not that was the plan the whole time, but considering he didn't play until DeAnthony Thomas got hurt, it almost makes you think that he probably wouldn't have had a breakout game had DeAnthony Thomas not gotten hurt.
And that could be true, too. You know, Dat has confounded me in his career in Kansas City. Because of just not knowing where to place him, because of his slight build. But then, man, he gets loose and he gives you quality reps. He's made some plays for this team. And losing him the way they did in Denver was definitely a heartbreaker for my interpretation of what Dak might be able to still grow into. I don't know. Certainly don't think he's going to be available for OTAs. We'll see what happens with camp and everything. But
he's a free agent, so or a restricted free agent, I believe.
I thought it was restricted. I could be wrong, but I'll double check that. But my point is taking him off the plate. One thing I'll say about Albert Wilson is he took advantage of that particular scenario to step up and make the most of it.
Well, and this is another thing that we're going to end up that we will have ended up discussing with Seth on yesterday's show. Did Albert Wilson really take advantage of it, or did Patrick Mahomes make Albert Wilson look better than he is?
Yes and yes.
Touche.
I mean, that's really just the way it comes down to it. Opportunity for a guy that has athletic skills like Albert Wilson does is really what he needs to grow. And because his niche being a little bit more confounded, a little bit more specific in the offense in 2017, not asking him to do as many things or not asking him to do things that he can't do well as many times, I think that played into a large part of it as well. And the other guy that we have to talk about is the departure of Albert Wilson, as I think we're both going to agree is the most likely scenario. A lot of talk about Chris Conley. I know we've had some folks talk to us on Twitter. I'm sorry I haven't been as responsive. I've been buried since I was out of town last week. But Chris Conley, I fully expect to be the number two receiver on this team. And you can say that he hasn't been utilized as well because, especially this week of the combine, how well he tested. And that is true. Chris Conley has some long speed. I believe it was a 4.34 was his 40 time. We all know his leaping ability, and he's put that on demonstration, catching things over the middle and using that to his ability. We've seen him get away. The only thing I caution you about when it comes to Chris Conley and filling that same kind of role or becoming the deep threat across from Tyreek Hill, Chris is kind of he's got like a long gait. It takes him a little bit to build that speed up. He's not as initial burst in like say a 10-yard split as you see from Albert Wilson. His short area quickness is still very good, but it's not the same as a guy like Albert Wilson. So I don't think that you can slide that around and make it apples for apples. It's definitely a guy that I'm most excited to see, and you tell me what you think. This team doesn't throw a fade into the corner ever. And I know Patrick Mahomes will do it.
They haven't. Alex Smith hasn't, more specifically. I really do think you're going to see a different Chris Conley this season. And I have said this for several years, and I will continue to say it, that I think that he has been misused in this offense because of the guy that has been throwing the ball. I honestly think that Chris Conley could be a 1,000-yard receiver next year.
Yeah, and I won't argue with you. At the very least, I think he becomes the red zone target that he is capable of becoming. Some of my favorite plays of his college film were things where he got loose and crossed the back of the end zone. And was either given something to go up and get near the crossbar or faded into the corner. And he hasn't been used that way in Kansas City. And like you said, mostly because of the quarterback. This quarterback isn't going to think twice.
No, but they've used Demetrius Harris in those types of roles, which doesn't make sense to me why Harris would be used in that type of situation where Chris Conley would not.
I agree. I think it's simply the vision aspect and the quarterback that's throwing it to him. I think this young quarterback is going to change that dramatically.
You think?
Yeah, hey, I'm going out on a limb here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going out on a limb. I think that's just stating the obvious. Patrick Mahomes is going to make plays that Alex Smith never dreamed of even trying. And I'm not trying to bash Alex Smith, but that's really the way I feel about it. Now, I will say, and I know I don't want to get off topic too much, but I did find it interesting. I did see Lewis Riddick was talking about the trade of Alex Smith to Washington. And he said that Washington thinks that they greatly upgraded their QB position over Cousins with Alex Smith. That, to me, is intriguing.
Well, okay, and I don't blame you for being intrigued. I take that in two parts. One, I agree. Alex Smith and the way that he goes about not turning the ball over is definitely an upgrade from Cousins. I don't think they're that dramatic. Dissimilar. I'm sorry?
Dramatic upgrade?
Well, see, that's where I start to draw qualms. I don't think it's that dramatic. I think it's important, but that's about limiting negative plays. I don't see a big difference in creating positive plays. And that's where I think that's a little bit of bluster from Redskins organization and folks and people that are leaking and talking to Lewis Riddick. I do think it's an upgrade for them. I just don't think it's extremely enormous because he doesn't have the tools like a Tyreek Hill that he had in Kansas City.
Yep. And that's the thing is if you don't replace the weapons that Alex Smith has, and you know, the nice thing for them is they do have a guy in Jordan Reed who can be a Travis Kelce type of tight end. He's not Travis Kelce, but he can be that type of tight end. But they're not going to have a Tyreek Hill.
Well, they don't currently. There's a whole draft to come. And there's burners out there like Sammy Coates and guys that are going to be available in free agency. And the draft's where I think – and actually we should hit this here real quick. The draft's where I think – I don't think the Chiefs are done. I think they need another target and maybe a speed one at that. And I think the draft is where they're going to look to find that. And that comes on the heels of Tuesday. We saw the official draft list come out as it stands right now. And that included the picks we've been talking about fairly often in the offseason, number 54 in the second, 78 and 86 in the third. But the Peters trade brought 124, which is two above the Chiefs' natural position at 122, 22nd and 24th in the round. So obviously the bottom third, but two there that I think in this particular draft, it's some of the deeper positions that the Chiefs need, like corner and wideout. I think there are players to be had there. And then we also got the update that they have the 209 is a comp pick. We saw that. But they also acquired 233 from Arizona, which is for the Marcus Cooper deal, as well as 243 from the Titans for David King.
Yeah, how about that, getting a pick for David King?
It's impressive. I mean, we're not far away from Mr. Irrelevant, but it's still a draft pick.
Yep.
So I think
– it's not like seventh-round picks have never made good players.
Right.
So –
and it's somebody that you don't have to chase down and compete with other teams against in the UDFA pool that explodes as soon as the last draft pick is done.
Yeah, and I also do want to throw this out there. I just want to throw out my appreciation to Carolina one more time for the buttkicker.com because they just signed Graham Gano to a long-term contract because they don't have Butker. So
right.
Just got to throw that out there.
I don't think a kicker is in play for that number 243, but no. The Chiefs draft maybe is going to be important. Maybe a punter. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Seventh round picks are perfect for using on specialists. I think the Chiefs are going to be in a position to look that direction, and this draft is going to be critical. But when we look back at whether a wide receiver can play into this draft, I think in particular it has to. In the speed dimension, and one guy that's gaining a lot of ground, I've only watched, six quarters of his game film. So you'll have to not quote me on what he is a receiver, but the only problem I see is he catches up against his body a lot rather than hands catching. But the kid that burned up the combine at a 4.38, I believe it was DJ Shark out of LSU. A thin but very speedy and fairly shifty wide receiver that I think the Chiefs might take a look at maybe in the third round, although he may be rising up into the second now.
Well, I also wonder if it's possible they won't look in the direction of Pat Mahomes' former teammates from Texas Tech.
Yep, and you know, we've had a lot of mention of him in the mentions on Twitter lately, and we thank you guys for pointing that out. You know, Kiki Cutie is definitely a guy.
Thank you for announcing that name because I wasn't going to try to.
But, hey, that's what I'm here for. But he's got some wheels. Another player and somebody that obviously Pat Mahomes is fairly familiar with, although I think he's probably had his greater season here as he's gotten a year older while Pat was the backup here in Kansas City last season, but definitely they got to think they have some ammunition. And I think Pat Mahomes is paying a particular attention to the draft class because he made a couple of comments over the weekend. He talked about Shaquin Griffin. He was clearly one of the NFL players that watches the combine and pays attention to what's going on.
Yeah, and I understand we're trying to focus on Chiefs stuff, but Shaquem Griffin, what a freaking story.
Well, and tell me what you think, because I said yesterday, this is a guy that Chiefs should look at in the fourth or maybe even the back end of the third round.
I don't know. And honestly, I don't know enough about him as a player to know whether or not that's a real reality. But I do know that it's his story is phenomenal, and he deserves an opportunity to play in the NFL. And I think he'll be better than people think he is. I mean, 20 reps with one arm.
Right. And the supposed number one offensive tackle prospect came in at 14.
Right. And I've heard that he might drop down into the fourth round.
Yeah. Hey. Good luck falling, because it's going to happen. I don't know if fourth round's going to be his bottom, but definitely on second day is as far as I can see.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a guy his size not being able to do bench press. But you know, I don't know what his arm length is. Maybe that plays into it. I'm trying to help him here.
Those Oklahoma tackles. I don't know, man.
Well, that's fair.
Well, folks, we will maybe bring up Griffin again next week and have a longer discussion after we look at a little bit for him. But hope you guys have a good weekend. We appreciate all the reviews you've been giving us. We really appreciate that. Tell us what you think. Leave them on iTunes. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. And we appreciate everything you've done for us, and we'll keep doing for you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreacyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.